It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
And it certainly is. It's the national news from the WIA for week commencing January 26, 2025. And this week, WIA Australia Day contest today, January 26, WIA AX meme, ARRL report DXCC application processing back to typical processing times, and Michelle, VK2AYL, joins us. Michelle, of course, is president of the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, ALARA. All this and much more in this, once again, sans director's edition of WIA National News. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
Across Australia, from VK1WIA, you're tuned to the WIA National News Service. Here in Campbelltown, it can be heard on a host of frequencies, including 160 meters, 1.845 AM, 80 meters, 3.595 lower sideband, 40 meters, 7.146 AM, 20 meters, 14.170 upper sideband, 10 meters, 28.320. I am Pete, VK2LP, for the WIA National News Service.
So our non-believers reckon the WIA are a stodgy old group of old codgers. A great WIA meme did the rounds on social media through the week, reminding us, in a fun, tongue-in-cheek way, of the use of AX for Australia Day, yesterday, 26. The meme's image is a massive Yagi adorning Parliament House on Capitol Hill, and then six rules for what you require for a successful Australia Day event. Number one, a valid amateur radio license, radio, antenna, alcohol, a brawl on 40 metres with an old timer, and number six, all of the above. Australiana. Carnarvon's decommissioned NASA satellite dish is back in service after 40 years. The 29.8-metre parabolic antenna at the Australian OTC, that's the Overseas Telecommunications Commission station, has come back to life again after nearly 40 years spent in decommissioning limbo. This parabolic dish antenna shares an illustrious history, together with the older 12.8-metre Casshorn antenna, in that together they assisted with many NASA missions over the decades. These not only include the Apollo 11 moon landing with the small antenna, but joined by the larger parabolic dish in 1969, the station performed tracking duty for NASA, the European Space Agency, and many other missions. Yet in 1987, the station was decommissioned, with scrapping mostly averted due to the site being designated a heritage site with a local VK6 museum. Then, in 2022, the 29.8-metre parabolic dish antenna was purchased by Thorsex Australia, who, together with the rest of Thorsex's worldwide presence, will be integrating this latest addition into a satellite tracking system that seems to have the interest of various military clients. Thorsex's mission statement reads, "We aim at contributing to space safety and sustainability whilst meeting the needs of industry, academia and government departments and agencies." Putting this decommissioned dish back into service wasn't simply a matter of flipping a few switches. Having sat mostly neglected for decades, it required extensive refurbishing. But this most recent milestone demonstrates that the dish is capable of locking onto satellites. This opens the way for a top-to-bottom refurbishment, the installation of new equipment and also a lick of paint on the dish itself. A process that will take many years, but beats watching such an historic landmark rust away by many light years.
This is Michelle, VK2AYL, President of the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association, ALARA. The program for the ALARA 50th anniversary on the 26th of July has now been finalised. There will be a formal lunch at the Novotel in Glen Waverley, as well as tours of the Phillip Island Penguin Parade and Puffing Billy for those that can stay longer. In addition, we will have a casual pizza and trivia night on the Saturday evening for those who would like to meet some of the ALARA members. Details of all the anniversary events and registration information can be found on the ALARA website at www.alara.org.au.
Thanks, Michelle. Now to education. Well, Australia has had its fair share of FIFO workers, that is, fly-in, fly-out workers. How about flying in and out to get your ham radio certificate? The St George Amateur Radio Society is but a short Uber ride from Sydney Airport, and they're running ham courses shortly. Okay, maybe a bit expensive, but if you're in the Shire around the St George area, the St George Amateur Radio Society's education team have their next training and assessment weekend scheduled for Saturday 1 and Sunday 2 of March. The training venue is in Sutherland, a short walk from the railway station, and there's usually plenty of free on-street parking available. Foundation or entry-level training is provided on the Saturday. This covers basic radio theory, regulations and practical setup and safe operation of an amateur radio station, and is followed by the qualification assessments on Sunday. Standard and advanced level qualification assessments are available on either Saturday or Sunday, but by prior arrangement with the SGARS education team. All assessments are conducted by ACMA accredited assessors. Now, bookings close Thursday, Feb 20, and you can contact them, email education@sgars.org.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
And WIA International News is with thanks to ARRL, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, Newsline, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. Amateur radio has been a hobby for well over 100 years. For as long as there has been an understanding of electricity and radio waves, people have been experimenting with these technologies and advancing the state of the art. As a result, the world has moved from wired telegraphy to tube radios to telephones, forward a century, to GPS and high-speed digital communication devices that fit in your pocket. Advances made by amateur radio experimenters have propelled the work of NASA, satellites, television, the internet, and every communications company in existence today. People fiddling with radios have pushed forward technological advances the world around, time and time again. Yet the people making these efforts, doing these feats, aren't always the best at documenting and preserving their work for the future. This is where Internet Archive comes in, Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications. DLARC is a project of the Internet Archive, and its job is to find and preserve this rich history of radio and communications. DLARC collects resources related to amateur radio, satellite communications, television, shortwave radio, pirate radio, experimental communications, and related communications. In the 2 years since the project launched, DLARC has preserved thousands of magazines and journals, manuals, product catalogues, radio programs, and conference proceedings. These materials were scattered worldwide, often inaccessible and in obsolete formats. DLARC have digitized material that was on paper, cassette tape, reel-to-reel tape, CD-ROMs, DVDs, digitized video from 16mm film, VHS, U-matic, Betacam, and even more obscure video formats. They've built a collection of more than 140,000 items and made them available to the world. Researchers, academics, and hobbyists use the library to learn from the rich history of this 100-year-old hobby. The link to DLARC is available in the text edition of this news. Ofcom has announced a consultation which seeks to simplify the licensing of amateur radio visitors to the UK from a specified list of countries. The consultation also covers the proposed simplification of other wireless equipment usage. Ofcom says, "We propose to introduce a new license exemption for short-term use of amateur radio equipment by radio amateurs visiting from countries that are not covered by the SEPT recommendation TR61-02, but with whom the UK has a bilateral reciprocal agreement. The deadline for responses to the consultation is 5pm on the 28th of March 2025. Heading to the USA soon, maybe to Dayton. Well, the Voice of America Museum is poised to reopen. The National VOA Museum of Broadcasting in Westchester, Ohio is QRV and is about to reopen. 6 months of renovations have come to an end at the Voice of America Museum, which reopened its doors to the public at noon on Saturday, the 25th of January. The work has created new exhibit space with room for more displays that showcase radio history in the US. The building formerly housed the Voice of America's Bethany Relay Station. The Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA, has its headquarters in the historic building and has had uninterrupted on-the-air activity even as remodeling took place elsewhere in the interior. As visitors return, hams will be on the air and, as always, ready to welcome them. There's a saying in theatre that even if you encounter hardship, the show must go on. Well, the theatre of radio is no exception to that rule. We learn how an important amateur radio program weathered the storm, literally, to fulfil a promised shortwave broadcast premiere. Listeners had counted on hearing the first shortwave broadcast of the DARC's amateur news program from Wolferton, England, but no one had counted on the severe storm that was bearing down on the west of England. The damage rendered 7 of the station's 35 antennas unusable, leaving the 9670 kHz broadcast imperiled as the start of the program drew near. The technical team scrambled and, on short notice, improvised. They crash-started another transmitter and a different antenna, so they were able to put the program on the air, just as expected, on time and on frequency. In an announcement to listeners on Sunday the 12th of January, Radio DARC's Raina Englert, Delta Foxtrot 2 November Uniform, thanked the Wolferton team, saying, quote, "This incident shows once again that technicians help each other and do everything humanly possible," end quote. Although reception reports varied unexpectedly because of the different equipment employed, over 1,000 listeners' emails poured in praising the program. Raina proclaimed the premiere a success. The Wolferton station had saved Radio DARC for its listeners after the closure of its previous shortwave broadcast in Moosbrunn, Austria, had been obliged to close down. Meanwhile, the station reports that the original antennas have since been repaired and their original configuration restored. The show will indeed go on. Still in the UK, the RSGB has announced that it is an official partner for this year's British Science Week, run by the British Science Association. The RSGB outreach team worked with the RSGB comms team to offer an amateur radio-related activity, and this will feature in the British Science Week community pack. This links with the Society's strategic priority of growth and its desire to reach new audiences. The Society is very excited that amateur radio will be featured for the first time in this important national STEM campaign. This year's event runs from the 7th to the 16th of March with the theme Change and Adapt. And it's not just for young people. And the RSGB has a range of additional activity ideas you could try with your community, friends and family too. The RSGB hopes its ideas and resources will encourage many to get out there and inspire others. For VK1WIA National News in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, ContestWise 2025. Australia Day contest, January 26th, on now. Start time was 2200 hours UTC 25 January to 1000 hours UTC 26 January. Modes are SSB, CW, FT8 and FT4. The complete rules are on the wia.org.au website. The CQ 160 meter DX contest runs from 2200 hours UTC on Friday the 24th until 2200 hours UTC on Sunday the 26th of January. Using CW on the 160m band, the exchange is signal report and CW zone. USA stations also send their state and Canadian stations send their province. The British Amateur Radio Teledata Group, BRITI Sprint, runs from 1200 hours UTC on Saturday the 25th until 1200 hours UTC on Sunday the 26th of January. Using RTTY on the 8 of the 10 meter bands, where contests are permitted, the exchange is your serial number. The IAIU 100th Anniversary Centennial QSO Party. The IAIU CQP will be held for 9 days, beginning Saturday 12 April and ending Sunday 20 April. This event will celebrate 100 years of the IAIU. Harry Angel Memorial 80 Meter Sprint, Saturday, May 3. DX Window to the World. DXCC application processing is back to typical processing times. In October, we reported that the ARRL DXCC system has been returned to service following work that was completed to ensure the security and integrity of the system, following the cyber attack in May 2024. Over 4,000 DXCC applications have been logged into the system for processing since returning the system to service. ARRL are currently processing applications submitted in December and continue to mail orders for paper DXCC certificates and endorsement stickers. There were 315 certificates mailed between December 27, 2024 and January 13, 2025. DXCC, the DX Century Club, is ARRL's most popular award. DXCC is achieved by confirming amateur radio contacts with a minimum of 100 entities on the ARRL DXCC list. Entities are the distinct geographic and political entities. Be listening for the call sign 5N9DTG, being used by members of the Rebel DX group. They are on the air from Nigeria for up to 3 weeks, starting in the third week of January. See QSO.com for QSL details. Team IG9-S51V have several members on the air between the 19th and the 29th of January, operating with the prefix IG9, followed by their home call signs, including S560X, S51V, S57UN, and several others. They'll also be participating this weekend in the CQ Worldwide 160m CW contest. As a multi-single entry using the team call sign IG9-S51V, all from Lampedusa Island, IOTA AF019. QSL via the operator's home calls. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ in Ingham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Bruce, VK3FFF.
And a very good day to you. Worldwide special interest groups, astronomy and wireless weather. HAMSAI announces personal space weather station sessions via Zoom. The Personal Space Weather Station, PSWS Network, is a distributed series of receivers designed to measure the space environment. These stations are built by professionals, citizen scientists, and ham radio operators. HAMSAI and its partners are constantly at work on expanding the network, improving the PSWS data collection hardware and software, growing the network infrastructure for data storage and retrieval, as well as meeting HAMSAI's ultimate goal, analysis of the collected data. HAMSAI has announced a recurring series of Zoom-based sessions to help those interested in the project. Sessions occur each Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern USA time, and more information is available on the HAMSAI website. HAMSAI works with scientists and radio amateurs around the world to collect data, and that includes half a dozen from VK7, 5, 3 and 2, right here in our own backyard. Worldwide special interest groups, balloons. DP0GVN still spotting WB6RER Pico balloon in early January. WB6RER Pico balloon, a 10-metre Whisper transmitter, was positioned over Antarctica January 6th and still at 44,300 feet. Looks like it will fly right over or very close to the Neumayer Station 3, DP0GVN, within the next day or two. The Newmar station is apparently the only 10-metre whisper spotting station in Antarctica, and it's appreciated the help keeping track of this world-travelling balloon. It flew north of the Arctic Circle during its early orbits, so it has flown over almost every part of our world. Distance travelled, 143,000 plus miles, and flight duration, 597 days, 22 hours and 40 minutes. Worldwide special interest groups, defence, secret listeners revealing the life of amateur radio heroes. The story of the World War II codebreakers at Bletchley Park near Milton Keynes, the cracking of the German Enigma and Lorentz cipher machines, and the role of supreme mathematicians such as Alan Turing is increasingly well known. However, the role of the voluntary interceptors is equally important but more obscure. Prior to the outbreak of World War I in 1914, many of the techniques to be used in later years for radio communications had already been invented. During the interwar years, amateur radio enthusiasts began to emerge in the UK, and by 1922, there were 6,986 wireless licences issued to receive transmissions and 286 giving permission to transmit. Upon the outbreak of World War II, the Radio Security Service, RSS, was established. The service, which began as a branch of MI5, was formed to listen to radio airwaves and detect illicit wireless communications within the UK. Later, the work included interception of Axis diplomatic and military signals. Again, much kudos to the ham fraternity. Worldwide special interest groups, IOTA, and what better island than Bouvet? Bouvet 2026. Team 3Y0K has announced the completion of a major milestone with the signing of a contract with the company that will take them to Bouvet Island in February 2026. They have also secured a contract with the company that will provide a helicopter, two pilots, and a mechanic for this project. They say, "We will depart from Cape Town on the 1st of February 2026, and the de-expedition is scheduled for 36 days. They say, "We intend to stay around the island for more than 21 days, which will provide us with enough time to wait for good conditions to land the team and all the equipment." Northern California DX Foundation, NCDXF, has discussed the planning with their leadership team and believes that this plan will be successful. There is risk associated with this de-expedition, as we all know, because of weather and local conditions. The leadership has experienced these challenges and has thoughtfully addressed them as best as they know. There will be two grants from NCDXF, totaling up to $200,000. The first will be a down payment of $100,000. The second will be a dollar-for-dollar match, up to $100,000. The match will be a challenge to the clubs and hams that donate prior to the de-expedition. Worldwide special interest groups, radio scouting. And we welcome back Alex, VK2MV.
Thank you, Bruce. Well, what a wonderful time I had in Maryborough for the 26th Australian Jamboree. It was a plethora of activities from STEM to sea to craft and camping. And all other scouts I spoke to had a wonderful time meeting each other and engaging in the activities. Archery tag and laser tag were highlights, which I would like to experience again. We had a couple rainy days and nights, so my gumboots and raincoat came in handy. The mud run benefited from the rain, which helped me get very dirty when I did it. I even brought home a couple pieces of muddy clothes, much to the disgust of my mother. As you know, the AJ 2025 station on air using the call sign VI2025AJ during that time. They had some contacts, however I heard the bands were not that cooperative. I am sure Chris Horn, VK2CGH, will be able to supply a report on the activity of the station to the WIA news crew, so we may be able to share some Yoda news with you. Happy Australia Day. For VK1 WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Bruce.
Thanks, Alex. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Rescue Radio. This story takes us to the US state of California, where deadly wildfires consumed much of the Los Angeles area and beyond, destroying homes and causing electrical and cellular outages. even as SpaceX temporarily activated the test version of its satellite to cellular service to help deliver emergency alerts and texts, hams were relying on the region's robust and resilient PAPA system of repeaters. The analog repeaters of California's wide-reaching PAPA system had their nets and routine traffic communications cancelled for a number of days. The repeaters were placed on standby for news and emergency traffic only, but by January 14th, all but three returned to net housing and normal use. Three repeaters remained off the main network to continue providing emergency coverage in the greater Los Angeles area. Cecil Casillas, WD6FZA, president of the PAPA system, told our US sister service Newsline that as of Tuesday the 14th, none of the PAPA repeaters had suffered fire-related damages. He said that flames closely threatened repeaters on Mount Wilson and at Saddle Peak, which overlooks Malibu, but the fires stopped short of affecting the buildings, antennas, or other equipment. He said the Saddle Peak repeater had been knocked out of service by an unrelated battery failure and that the fires blocked access for anyone to bring up a generator. Meanwhile, SpaceX gave temporary access to its Starlink satellites to T-Mobile customers, even without its direct-to-cell constellation being fully completed. According to an article in PC Magazine, only T-Mobile customers with supported phones would have access to texting, but emergency alerts and evacuation notices could be received by any cellular phone. I'm Bruce, VK3FFF in sunny Bendigo.
The Wireless Institute of Australia and the Weekly News Service.
Yes, it certainly is WIA National News. I'm Graham, VK4BB editor. Now, we're taking a look now at beacons, and in particular, the VK2 RSY beacons at Dural in New South Wales. The beacons identify in Morse with VK2RSY QF56MH, the Maidenhead locator for the site, at approximately 40-second intervals. That's VK2RSY QF56MH. Now, beacons serve a couple of major functions. One is as an indicator of propagation, to see if there is a path between an observer and the location or region of the transmitter beacon. The other major function is in the local service area, where the constant signal of a beacon can be used as a reference for antenna or equipment performance and comparison. Now let's have a look at these five particular VK2 RSY beacons at Dural. 10 metres, 28.262. 6 metres, 50.289. 2 metres, 144.420. 70 centimetres, 432.420, and on 23 centimetres, 1296.420. There are no beacons at Dural currently operating on frequencies higher than 27 sims. Amateur Radio New South Wales do have the licences and would be interested in hearing from you if you'd like to work on a project for one or more of these microwave bands.
This is VK1WIA. All points of contacts from today's news stories are to be found in print when you read the web editions, www.wia.org.au.
Now the social scene, 2025, and it's a date. VK3, Barg Hamfest, the 2nd of February at the Ballarat Polo Cross Pavilion. That's next door to the Barg Club Rooms at Ballarat Airport. In VK6, Parg Fest, Peel Amateur Radio Group. That'll be February 15, 9 a.m. at Mandurah Bowling Club. In VK4, the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club Redfest, April 12. A new venue, this time Deception Bay North State School. The WIA AGM, May 3 to 4. That'll be in Bendigo. VK5, the CERG Convention and Fox Hunting Championship, June 7 and 8. The Scout Hall in Mount Gambier. VK, ALARA, the Australian Ladies Amateur Radio Association's 50th anniversary, Glen Waverley, July 26, Gold Coast Amateur Radio Society's Hamfest, November 9, and in VK3, Rosebud Radio Fest, Eastbourne Primary School Rosebud, November 16. Now, until next we meet, I'm Graham, VK4BB. Walk softly.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the Weekly News Service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.